morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to try to sing a song or two. Since I got a kidney transplant, I feel like I got a little strength to do that now. I was thinking from the hymnal. You use these anymore? Okay. I was just joking. It seemed like we have forgotten about the good songs here. Anyway, there's a song here that I like, page 188. At the cross, but I'm not going to do it the traditional way. So, young people, we're going to enjoy this because it's not the old-fashioned way. Okay? Everybody going to sing with me, right? I need help. So, real nice song. I kind of pick up the tempo a little bit on it, like a little rock and roll, I guess, or a little country. I don't know. You decide. We start at the chorus. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden on my heart rolled away. He was there by faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the time. Come on, let's do that again. Past the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. He was there by faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Take some of the old songs and kind of bring them back and, you know, put your own little spin on it, I guess. And I think the young people will like them. Amen? Because some of the hymnals, they're kind of old, you know? It's kind of like us, right? Amen. I've been through a lot. I thank God that I'm here and I'm alive. I thank God that I'm being seen by people. I guess any day that you're above ground, you're doing good, right? Well, God has seen fit that I still be around. There's a purpose. Some people, like I was listening to Vice President Dick Cheney, and you know he had a heart transplant. And they asked him in the interview, do you think that there is a purpose why you're here? He says, no, I don't really think so. You know what? I think so. I think that God spares your life for a reason. He did for me. He gave me a liver. Now he gave me a kidney. I sort of look at it like, you know, you need a part for your car. You go to the auto parts store, right? And you get a part. You need a part, God will give you the part. Whatever part you need. Amen? Amen. He did it for me, and I'm so glad. He provided a kidney. It's only been... few months. You wouldn't be able to tell by looking at me, but it was in May, at the end of May, that I went in and they called me and they gave me a kidney. Anyway, I'm going to tell you about that in a few minutes. I got another song I want to sing. Is it okay? We live in a democracy, so you get to vote. We got to remember that, and we need to tell Washington that this is America and it's a democracy. You know, you don't just go down there and make up your own mind. And it's not a dictatorship. Amen? It seems like those people forget when they get down there. I was thinking about Jesus on the main line. Have I ever done that here? You guys going to sing with me? All right. I'm a little bit country. I know some of you all are rock and roll. I said to Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Some people have the idea they're going to church. Oh, I got to go to church. You know, they're kind of, oh, here I am. You know, that's not what church is. You know, you're alive. You know, you were dead, but now you're alive. Amen? God has quickened your mortal body. You're alive. You're alive because he's alive. And because he's alive, that's why we worship and we praise him. And that's what has to do with the message that I'm going to share. Maybe I should put this down. I'll just keep singing. Somebody help me. Just drop it over there somewhere. Nice guitar, right?
Very nice. I put it in my car right now.
Okay. That's all right. Hey, we got to share, you know. We're Christians, right? That's a sign of being a believer, sharing. You know, I haven't done this in a while, okay? So if it seems like I'm nervous, I am. I was in the hospital for a whole month when I went in for my kidney transplant. And 2 weeks of that was in ICU. Everybody there up there in the ICU was in a coma. I was the only one that was complaining. And the nurses and everybody, we're not used to having somebody up here who's alive, you know. I went up to ICU because they were removing fluid. I was still doing dialysis because my kidney came from New Mexico. It was like 24 hours to transport to New England. And so, of course, when they put the kidney in me, it was still dormant. So they started to remove fluid to give the kidney a chance to wake up and not be overwhelmed. And they removed a lot of fluid. Boy, that's, yeah. I thought they, the earth. Anyway, they started to remove fluid from me, and they removed too much real quickly. So my heart went into an arrhythmia. And they tried to give me some drugs to get the heart back again into the rhythm. And it didn't work, so they had to give me a stronger drug. And so they had to send me to ICU because I needed to be monitored with all this drug they were going to give me. I didn't like it up in ICU. They keep you in bed. They don't let you get up. And I'm going to tell you, I wanted to get up out of bed. And they tell me, no, you can't get up. I said, I'm getting up. And, you know, you can't keep me in the bed. And he said, you're not in no condition to get up. I can get up. Believe me, I can get up. And so I would get up against their advice. But, you know, that was, for me, that's the way it had to be. There were certain things they wanted you to do in the bed, and I just wasn't about to do that. And so I refused. I said, no way. Oh, yeah, no, no. Everybody else does. No, I'm not everybody. I'm a different kind of guy. I would tell the nurses, you know, I'm a minister. I'm a man of God. God is with me. Who can be against me? They would look at me, you know. This guy is one flew over the cuckoo nest, I guess. Hey, but that's the way it was. And the doctors and the nurses, they all know me there. I go in and they go, hey, how you doing, Jose? They already know who I am. It's a scary thing when they know you in the hospital, you know. At Mass General, you know, that's a big hospital. And I've been there so many times that everybody knows me. Hey, how you doing? I go down for my blood work, and some of the technicians there and the nurses there, born-again believers, they're Christians. And we talk, and we share. While they pinching me with the needle, taking out my blood, we're talking about Jesus and the Word. And isn't that nice? I'm laying on the table. The doctor is about to do a procedure. We're talking about God and the Lord. And I do that a lot, you know? I may be down, but I'm not out. And so throughout the whole process, this is why this message is called God in the Process. And when I told that to the pastor here that he wanted to put it in the bulletin, he said, what's the title of your message? I said, God in the Process. So he emailed me back and said, God in the Process. Is that a Spanish word? I said, no, 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 God in the Process. And then he said, oh, okay. He got it right. He thought I was telling a Spanish word. But anyway, it's God in the Process. What do I mean by that? You just heard the reading of the scriptures found in Mark, if you have your Bible. I'm reading from the King James, by the way. I tell you why I like the King James. You want to know? I'll tell you. In the King James Version, it says, in John, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. He says, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. In the NIV, says, in my Father's house are many rooms. You done lost your mansion. It's just a joke. I don't want you going out of here saying, he's preaching about the King James and the NIV. No, it's that I like my mansion. If it wasn't so, I would. You know, when we all get to heaven, there's going to be somebody standing in this side with the NIV. It's going to say, rooms this way. And there's going to be somebody with the King James, mansions this way. I like that, don't you? Anyway, it's just a joke. Something to make us laugh, right? But you know, the Bible does say that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Does it not? It says God loves us so much that he has prepared a beautiful place for us that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. We can't even begin to comprehend how beautiful it is, what the place that he has for you and I. You know, like when Thanksgiving comes around and mom is at the table preparing big old table and the turkey and all the trimming. You know how that goes, right? Somebody that loves you, oh, the family is coming. And they put everything together. What a feast. Imagine God. He loves you so much preparing for when you get to heaven. Oh, it's going to be great. Amen? Some people say, just build me a cabin there in the corner. I'll be. No, I don't want no cabin. I want my mansion. Amen. Just a little joke. So in Mark chapter 6, you know, this really struck me. Since I was in the hospital, and this is a passage that I share with people that I haven't been in many places since I got out. I'm looking to do more ministering. It's kind of rebuilding the ministry again. I got to start all over again because I lost some of the support. Thank God that you guys stuck with me. But now I got to go rebuilding to get more support. My car is dying. I'm glad it made it here. You can take a look at it when you go outside. The one with the different colored doors, that's mine. It's got a lot of miles. It's got all the lights on, check engine light, low cooling, oil. It's here by a miracle. God just, you know, the car needs a transplant. Just like me. Anyway, I'm rebuilding the ministry again, slowly beginning, but I'm looking, I want you to pray for me, remember me in your prayers for new doors to open, to be able to minister more, preach the word. I love giving my testimony to young people. When I go to the prison and I give my testimony, I was thinking as I was sitting there, and I was telling my brother earlier, I went to a women's prison in Framingham, and there was like 200 women there. I was the only guy there. My knees were shaking. All the women in the correctional officer was a woman. The chaplain was a woman. Everybody was a woman except me. I was the only guy there. Some men says, oh, yeah, man, let me at it. Oh, no, I'm telling you, it's a very scary feeling to be among all these women and you're the only guy there. Well, anyway, I'm going to tell you a little bit of what happened. When I got there, there was all these women sitting in the front. They loved the Lord. The ones that were sitting up in the front, they were, yeah, praise God. Hey, Reverend Montals, all right. But then those that were sitting in the balcony in the back, there were some lesbians. And they were back there laughing and joking, thinking it was one big joke. And so the women in the front were kind of disturbed by it because they do that. They told me they do that at every service. But I'm not the kind of guy that put up with that kind of stuff. So they were disrupting the service. And you know what I did? I said, excuse me. Hello, excuse me back there. They looked at me and I said, would you share with everybody what's so funny so we can all laugh? I put the spotlight on them. They didn't like it. So they, from that moment on, the service went on. You didn't hear a peep out of them. And I went ahead and did the message and gave my testimony. And about 100 women got saved. They came forth, these women, crying to give their heart to the Lord. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I go to the women's facility and the men. I prefer to go to the men's facility. The women are more vocal. They don't care. They speak out. The men, they at least they have this control. Not like the women, you know, the emotion. So I prefer to go to the men's facility. Now the women are in there for crimes just as bad as men or worse. And you wouldn't know that. The women that have committed robberies, murder, arsenal, fires, you would never think of that. And you look at them, some of them women you look at, they, you know, they got blue eye, blonde hair, you know, pretty. You would never think in a world that these women would commit these crimes. But they need salvation just as bad as the men. So you need to pray for me on that, that I have the strength to go there. There's another facility I don't like to go to, and that's for the sexually dangerous. I try to stay away from those. I just have trouble with that. Even though they need salvation too. I've gone to the sexually dangerous maybe once or twice in my whole prison ministry. And it's been because somebody requests for me to go see somebody there. Other than that, I don't go to those facilities. I just don't. You know? You think about guys that have committed crime that are in prison. And some people say they deserve to be there. You know, if we all would have gotten what we deserve, where would we be? Huh? The difference between, I usually say the difference between them and us, or the difference between them and you, is that they got caught and you didn't. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Enough of that. Let me get into the message that I got here. God in the process. I say that God is in the process because while I was going through dialysis, and while I was, when I went through my liver transplant, I also saw that, but not as much as I saw it now with the kidney. When I went through the liver transplant, you know, I was fading away. I was dying. I made my peace. I said, God, I don't want to live like this. Take me home. Because I don't know if you know anybody that's ever gone through a liver transplant or that their liver has gone bad in them. Let me tell you, that's a real bad experience you go through. You know, the liver cleanses all the impurities in your body. And the liver is the only organ in your body that reproduces itself. You know, you can give somebody a piece of your liver and it'll grow a full liver. Did you know that? It's amazing. It's the only organ in your body that will grow that way. In any event, my liver was gone. And so I was starting to fade away. Some of the people would see me, and because I was a big guy, you know, you can see I'm still a big guy. I was bigger back then. When I was in prison, I came out, I used to lift weights, you know, and I was huge and big muscles and all that, you know. And I used to jog like 10, 12 miles, you know. I was strong as a horse. And when my liver failed, I started to fade away. I became real skinny. And there were people that looked at me, didn't even recognize me. And I said, Lord, I don't want to live like this. Just take me home. Because I was waiting for a liver. And then they gave me one, and I thought I was done. I was good. Everything was fantastic. And then my kidney fell. I said, why am I back in the woods again? What's going on? You know, and the devil will come around and say, where's your God now? You know how the devil likes to come around when you're hurting? And he whispers, you trust in God. Where is he now? And I was continuing to praise and worship the Lord and go to church and speak. Even though I was fading and dying, I just wouldn't give up. I wouldn't surrender. But now when I was waiting for my kidney, I was in dialysis. I hated dialysis. I didn't like it. You're tied down to a machine. You can't travel. You can't go anywhere. I still did anyway. I went out to preach and to minister when I was in dialysis, but I didn't like it. And I was at my wit's end. Just a week before they called me for my kidney, I was complaining, you know, like you do. You complain too, right? I was complaining to the Lord and to some of the people, even to the pastor of the church that I attend. I was saying, man, I don't think this is going to happen. I don't think that God's going to come through on this time. I think I'm done. He says, don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. I said, yeah, I know. I've been hanging out and didn't want to lose my hope, but I don't think it's going to happen. And I said that week, and on Monday, the week after, they gave me a call from Mass General. See, God knows when you're at your wit's end. He knows how much you can carry. And he knows when you're just about to give up. And he comes through. He came through for me. And this is why I say God in the process. Because we seem to forget, at least I did, that when you're going through something in life, you don't think that God is there. You're thinking that, okay, when I get to the end, And when God provides this, from then I say, praise the Lord. God is great. But in the process, while you're going through it, you seem to forget that the Lord is in the process. That God is there. Just like in this passage. See, you're going to see as we read it again. This time I'm reading from the King James. If you want to follow with the NIV, that's fine. In verse 45, and it says, and straight away he constrained his disciple to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida. Well, he sent away the people. What people? The people that he just fed, the 5,000, with the fishes and the loaves. See, I didn't want to talk about that miracle, but that miracle happened before this miracle. He was sending the people away. And the disciples were like, wow, what did God just do here? Look, the multitude of the people. They were still thinking about that. You see it in the passage here that says their heart was hardened because they were still considering the fishes and the loaves. That they didn't consider this miracle. And then when the brother read, he talked about the woman with the blood issue. He said that she touched the hem of his garment. Right? Well, you're going to notice here at the end of the passage that those that were sick touched him. See, we always say, God touch me. God touch me. God touch me. Touch my children. Touch my wife. What about you touching God? See, I'm going to turn it around. The Bible says, like the woman that touched the hem of his garment, we need to reach out and touch the Lord. We need to touch him. And we'll receive the healing. See, I'm getting ahead of myself anyway. But you got something there. Just keep it in mind. And it says, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. See, it's important to remember it was the sea, not a lake. Because, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. Just like the wind is contrary to our lives sometimes. The wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea. And he would have passed them by. He would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit or a ghost. They didn't know it was Jesus. But they took a shot in the dark and cried out. And they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them. So they recognized. He says, my sheep hear my voice. So when he talked to them, they said, oh, yeah, it's the Lord. He said, it is I. No, really, what he said in the original language was, I am. I am that I am. Who should we send us? I am that I am. You go tell somebody, I am, send me. They'll look at you like one flew over the cuckoo nest. They have no idea. But God said to them, I am. Or in the English language is, it is I. He said, it is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. See, the fear that drives us most of the time, we have fear. Fear that God won't come through. Fear that we're going to die. We have fear about many different things. He said, be not afraid. And he went up into them, into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure in wonder. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They did not consider it. They were still harboring on that, what happened there, that they forgot what happened now. While they were in the middle of the sea, they were towing, and the wind was contrary. In other words, you know what they were doing? Like you and I, they were complaining. Oh, man, this wind, I don't think we're going to make it, man. I think we're going to die here. Right? Isn't that what we do? We forget in the process that God is in the midst. It says here that he was in the midst of them, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They threw three of them into the fire. But when they looked in them, they said, hey, there's a fourth one in there. What's going on? Who's this other person? It was God. God was in the process. God was in the fire with them. God goes through the fire with us. When we are in sick, and we're in the bed, when we're going through a disease, God is there. He's not distant. He's not far away. He's right there. And you know what God is doing? He's watching to see how you react. How you're going to respond. How you're going to handle it. A lot of us handle it with fear, with complaints, right? He said, when I get out of this, then I'll praise the Lord. But what happens while you're going through it? It's like they used to say, I remember when I first accepted the Lord, that people say, praise the Lord, always praise the Lord. You mean to tell me if I'm hitting a nail and I hit my thumb, I'm supposed to say, praise the Lord? That didn't make any sense to me. And it doesn't to you, right? But it means that in all things, give God glory. Give Him praise. Yeah. That's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to praise the Lord and to be thankful when you're going through a disease, needing a kidney, that you're going to die. Yet, I did it. Even at the end there, I started surrendering. I started losing hope. I did. Started losing faith. But God was there in the process. He was observing. He was watching me. And He's watching you. Seeing how we're going to react in certain conditions, certain places. It's a means to the end, they say. You're going through the process. You say, at the end, when I get the miracle, at the end, when God provides, at the end, when I get there, then I'll praise God. But when I'm going through it, That's the way people are. While I'm going through these pains, a painful experience, I am not going to respond and praise God because there's nothing to praise the Lord about. Yes, there is. You're alive, aren't you? You woke up this morning. A lot of people didn't wake up this morning. You can sweat. Some people can't sweat anymore. There's something to give thanks to God for. Amen? Come on, give me an amen.
Amen.
I say, can I get a witness here? I go to black churches too, you know. And I can preach like they preach, you know. They get down, so do I. Anyway, I love this because while they were in the midst of the sea, He came walking on the water. And I can preach on that, walking on the water. Remember the passage where Peter said, Lord, if that's You, bid me to come to You. And Peter started walking on the water. Huh? Isn't that great? When you're walking on the water, he walking on the water saying, wow, check this out. I'm walking on water, man. You know what happened? The devil came around and said, hey, man, you can't walk on water. He said, you're right. And down he went. And what did he do? Did he do one of those prayers? Lord God Almighty, I pray, Lord, that You have... No, he said, Jesus. That's all he said. And Jesus reached out and pulled him out. There's another passage. I love these passages. There's another passage where Jesus was asleep in the boat. How many know that? Amen. Jesus was asleep in the boat while the disciples were there and a storm came. And Jesus was taking a nap. He was sleeping in the storm. And the disciples were, we're going to die here. Said, Jesus, wake up, man. Don't you care for us that we're going to die here? Jesus woke up and says, what's the problem? He said, Lord, look around you. The Lord said, peace, be still. Can I go back to sleep now? You know what He said? Oh, ye of little faith, when the Son of God returns, will He find faith on the earth? He said to them, oh, ye of little faith. You know why He said that? Because He said, you could have taken care of this yourself and not woke me up. I was having a nice nap. Basically, that's what He was saying. If you read it again, you see. Those are passages that will encourage you. That will bless you. They're miracles. But they happened for you and for me today. They're miracles that are happening. It's a miracle that God provided a kidney for me from somebody, 20-year-old. They told me, that's all I know from the donor. He was a 20-year-old, passed away, and they saved the organ, some of his organ, and I got one. And I feel like a 20-year-old now. Oh, yeah, I can walk. I can go down the stairs. You know, I'm walking now, trying to lose a little bit of weight. Because some of you all remember me when I came here for dialysis. I was like that, right? Well, it's going down slowly. I'm looking forward to. This is not full gospel. Slowly I'll get back in the shape that I need to be able to preach more and to travel. I pray that you pray for me, that the finances will come in and I'm able to do that. Because my desire is to preach, to go to the byways and the highways, and to make him known to those that are the youth, that are in prison, the women, the men, in the streets, like I said, in the churches, and wherever the opportunity presents itself, I want to go in, play the guitar, sing, give testimony. And I know somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to turn their heart to the Lord. Anyway, I'm almost done. It says, and when they had passed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship straight away, they knew him. They knew him. And ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about and bed those that were sick where they were heard he was. And wheresoever he entered into the village, the city, the country, they laid the sick on the street and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. As many as touch him were made whole. Many touch him. They reached out as he walked by, and they reached out and touched the border of his garment, and they were healed. They were made whole. See, this is why I like the King James, because it says they were made whole. See? It's important that you become whole again. The woman that touched the border of his garment, when he told the disciples, this is an interesting story, because there was a lot of people there all around Jesus. And the woman had gone through all these doctors, spent a lot of money seeing physicians and doctors, and she still had the problem. And she heard about Jesus. It said that faith coming by hearing. And hearing what? Hearing the word of God. She heard about Jesus, and faith came alive. And she said, if I can only touch him. But when she got there, there were so many people. If it would have been me, I said, forget it, man, I'm going home. Ain't no way I'm going to be able to get it. Look at the crowds. Have you ever gone to an arena and seen this group of people all around, or in a concert? I don't go to concerts, by the way. Too many people. Or baseball games, too rowdy, too crazy. I'd rather watch it from the TV in the comfort of my home. But anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that this woman didn't give up. She crawled in between the feet and the legs of everybody. She got under there and she moved this way, moved that way, and came unto Jesus and she touched him. And Jesus was surrounded by people that were bumping him and the disciple. And Jesus said, who touched me? The disciple said, what do you mean, who touched you? Look at all the people around here, man. He says, no, somebody touched me. You know what Jesus would say? Somebody touched me in a special way. And he felt the virtue go out of him. He said, who did it? And the woman was there and she was trembling, afraid, because she thought that Jesus was going to rebuke her. No, he says, daughter, your faith has made thee whole. See? That's what it said. You can read it. Check me out. Don't just take my word for it. Go and read it. Amen? So what we see here, I'm done. Conclusion, finish, the end, no mas. That's usually the way I do my conclusion. But the Word of God is true. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God healed me. This kidney God provided for me. I needed it. because I want to go on preaching. There is a purpose why he still has me here. There's a purpose for you. There's a purpose for me. We're here to make him known. We're here to worship him. We're here to praise him in the midst of your trials and tribulation. For the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. You know, and I don't know if I turned this thing on. Was I on? Thank God. That's all I can say because I forgot. The brother told me, push the button. I don't remember if I did. You know, I'm afraid of these things because one time I was in a congregational church in Philip Congregational Church in Watertown, Massachusetts. Years ago, many, many years ago. And they gave me one of these and I put it on and it was on. I didn't know it and I went to the bathroom. And I flushed the toilet. I came out, everybody's looking. Hey, I didn't know it was on. So you have to be careful with these things, you know? It's like Watergate. At least you guys let me know. Here it is. You know, we're going to record you. And Watergate, they didn't do that. Anyway, that's another joke. Praise the Lord. I'll turn it over back to my brother. I thank you for having me. I appreciate your support. I pray that you continue to support me. And I was telling, they call you Mickey. Why do they call you Mickey? Yeah, the pastor told me, Mickey. I said, who's Mickey? I told her that I was in need of a vehicle. And I had a church in Pioneer Valley Baptist Church over in the west side of Massachusetts. They sent me a gift towards buying a car. And I have several individuals that contribute. And they gave a donation. But I'm still very, very short to get this vehicle. So pray for me that I'm able to get a good vehicle, good gas mileage to travel to preach the gospel. God bless you.